co-authors, Maya Kirschick is here, and the rest stayed home or are not attending. But we have a great group of people working on this project, which I'm excited to share with you. The rationale behind this project, charting new territory in high school education, and this may be a little redundant considering the whole session that we've been a part of, but as I'm sure you're aware, there's a lack of awareness about soil science as a professional path. There's a lack of materials for high school students and teachers on the subject of soil science. And I have seen what there is on the SSSA website, but I think that there could be more. And there's also a need for educated people who can manage and conserve our soil. Our project objective is creation of an open access website with activities and resources for high school teachers and students. One of the reasons we're targeting high school science teachers and high school students is these students are likely in the decision-making process for where am I going to go to university, what am I going to study there. And as we know, to reference, I forget whose presentation with the little girl playing in the soil or in the mud, at a young age, people are very engaged with their natural environment and play in the dirt or the mud a lot. And as there's a trend in science education as you go up in the grades that there's less of that. And so hopefully we can bring it back into the awareness of students so that when they go to university, it's already, the seed has been planted in their mind. So our initiative goals are to promote awareness of soil science, develop interactive online resources for high school teachers, and highlight career paths available to students. And the approach is a national collaborative effort among six post-secondary institutions. So we have researchers in British Columbia, Ontario, Nova Scotia, and Saskatchewan. Our participants include soil scientists, graduate students, high school teachers, instructional designers, and IT specialists. And this great group of people, we want to make sure that we're similar to the Get the Scoop group. We want to make sure that we're developing something that the teachers are going to find useful, that is solid in terms of technology so that the website doesn't crash and the links work. And the instructional designers are helping us think, well, how do we go beyond just taking textbook material and putting it online? Our site is going to showcase a lot of different things. So we intend to have photos and videos. We're going to take simplified data sets from research projects. There'll be teacher resources such as discussion ideas, lesson plans, activities that teachers can use on their campus or in a lab. Career paths of several soil scientists will be highlighted, and interactive activities and fun quizzes. So one of the kind of the format which we've come up with so far is that we will have a sample research topic that one of the researchers in our team is conducting. So the topic could be relationship between pedology and climate change, northern ecosystems, or nutrient cycling and carbon storage in forest soils, environmental monitoring of organic contaminants in soils from municipal biosolids. We're choosing our topics for a variety of reasons, like biosolids. I think it's great to bring that ick factor to students and get them to really engage with this topic and think about it. And so, like for example, with the biosolids, the researcher has developed abstract and materials about the research that they do. We're repurposing and simplifying that material and presenting it in a way that a teacher teaching either earth science or biology can hit some of their standards that they need to teach in their course using material from an actual study. The timeline for our project. So we have a 3-year project. We initiated it this year and will go until 2013. We are, as I just stated, gathering material and repurposing it for high school students in collaboration with the teachers. That's the stage that we're at right now. And we, our ultimate goal is to promote the website among scientific societies, conferences, and newsletters, career fairs and recruiting offices, university and college newsletters, and science teacher fairs and conferences. And we'd like to thank the Canadian National Sciences and Engineering Research Council. They were our funding body, and the Canadian Society of Soil Science is going to provide support for this project ongoing. And if you want to be involved or share feedback or ideas, you can contact me at rachelstrive@gmail.com. I also want to mention, I don't think I stated this before, but the Get the Scoop was our actual inspiration for this project. And I'm really excited to be at the beginning of this project and having just heard all these other ideas from the group, because hopefully you can draw from them and implement it into the project and have a really great outcome. So thank you very much.
Anyone have any other questions for any of the speakers? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for Pat. I teach an introduction to soil science course, which is a second year course, and in a sense I see course like that as a university frontier for the general public. It's not quite the general public that you encounter with your exhibit, but these are the students that at that point usually did not hear about soil science and the fact that somebody studies that. So, and I recently read your article that was just published in SSSAJ, and when I was reading the article, I was wondering, what can you tell to somebody like me that you learned from your experience of developing and running the exhibit? What can we as a university introduction to soil science professor can apply to get students, uninitiated students, to get excited about soil?
Do you want to call?
Great question, thanks. I taught soils myself at the university for 5 years before I moved to the Smithsonian. And, the kids bring a lot of different perspectives, but many of them, as you say, haven't really had any exposure. And, I think the same sorts of things we did in the exhibit, which was focused towards middle school but had a real wide range of material, also work in the classroom. It's easy for us to think that if we just tell somebody how important soils are, why that's enough. But these aesthetic features of soils, some of the history and culture, weaving those sorts of things in, sparks a side of their imagination that just telling them it's important will not. And so I think if you combine the two, then you have something really powerful. And it seems like that's getting easier to do because of some of the books that we've seen. I didn't mention this, but I was going to mention it to our last speaker, that all of the audio visual that was developed for the soil exhibit is online. And I have colleagues in a variety of places that teach college courses who introduce certain topics like soil forming factors with the video, because it makes a very simple point, but it's fun and kind of gets them engaged, and now maybe they're ready, to hear what the five soil forming factors are. So I guess the bottom line is, I'd say as college teachers, we could just be a little bit more playful, it would really help.
That's an interesting perspective. I like that, though, because they want to have fun. Our laboratory, we give a lot of tours, and you got to loosen them up. It's almost stand-up comedy, but if you don't loosen them up, they won't interact with you. And we have a lot of the same age, the middle school age kids, and you got to break the ice somehow to make them comfortable. Otherwise, they think, well, this is just another tour of something that I have to do, and they don't interact as well. I actually had a question for Rachel. Whose idea was your project? I mean, where did the inspiration and the funding, you mentioned the funding, but who said this needs to be done? Who recognized that?
The two of us,
Well, a peer approached me after the Get the Scoop book came out and said, you should do this, but for Canadian audiences, because I don't know if you're aware, well, you probably are, but we have a different classification system, and so while the book is very useful in so many ways for Canadian teachers, there's a couple of things like soil classification that you have to adjust a little bit. And so a person approached me, and when I was a master's student, and I approached my supervisor, Maya, and we started talking and brainstorming. And the funding that we went for is a national fund. It's probably like an NSF type of thing in that they fund promotion of science to K through 12. And I guess the other motivation for it, like I used to teach high school, and I find that sometimes in materials development, they get overlooked because high school isn't necessarily the easiest age to engage with. And so I find that they're a little bit challenging to engage with. And so, if you can engage with them and get them animated and inspired, then they can be just as dedicated as anyone else, as any other age group. And I think the other cool thing is they're so close to being able to being adults where they can actually act on these things in a major way. So it's a very impressionable age to work with, I think. And kind of to build off of what you said, Pat, one of the things that I found when I was a teacher was figuring out somehow to connect whatever I was teaching with whatever was going on in their lives. And so like I think we chose the website format as opposed to a book, so that we could capitalize on new technology, new media, and I think there are other ways to maybe connect with what kids are excited about or the public is excited about, and that's a nice way to build into the soil science, like with your lessons that you did.
Did you have
I had two thoughts to that. One, certainly playful. When we set out to do Dirt the Movie, we wanted to reach an audience, not a soil scientist, but the broadest audience we could. One of the things that's come back in all the screenings that I've attended and in the response to the site was that the playful quality, being inspired, was absolutely, which Pat was talking about, absolutely is something that works. The other part, however, which is really interesting, is that there's so much going on in the world that's terrifying and scary in terms of what you're hearing about the, you know, climate change right away and food and security and the rest of it, that what we've been hearing back about the film is that, oh, here's something that I can do, that there's a, and soil, I mean, from our perspective, soil being the ultimate natural resource, is that how you deal with soil is how you deal with our survival. That once there's that connection, it was a really interesting attraction. So it wasn't just that the subject is interesting and it's like a cool thing. It's also, if you study this or you make a career in this, which is really interesting about saying, you know, this is a career where whatever we need to market, you know, power, you know, heroic looking but the attraction that what you're going to do is actually contribute and make a difference, along with some career realities, is a powerful attraction. The second thing that both for where we are in publishing and everything else that's going forward in terms of online learning, which Claudia set the whole, you know, set us off with the new media. The beginning of this past summer in June, I was at Google for something called Sci Food Camp, which is just summer camp for scientists and nerds for the most part. Well, why I was there is another question, but it's Nature Magazine, Google, and O'Reilly Publishers. And what's emerging is that not only are there huge shifts taking place at the universities, which I forgot to mention, which is that stovepipe sort of being taken a look at, but the world of publishing and how we present materials is undergoing a fundamental change in textbooks. I had a personal dimension. I got my PhD in film history and history of film, U.S. history, specializing in history of film. I wrote a history of gangster movies, and I insisted with at Berkeley, I said, I've got to put my dissertation on film. I'm going to file it away, which I did, a big argument. For years, I've been thinking, how do you marry the two, the Oxford University Press book and this film? Lo and behold, up comes the world we're in, where, in fact, there are living books. The best example of this is a science book. It's The Elements, A Visual Experience. It's by Wolfram. It's a group, the head of Mathematica, who built a wooden periodical table of the elements as a joke. And Oliver Sacks came and said to his house one day, he said, you should do something with this. And the result of that was Wolfram Research, the head of Mathematica, is one of the most successful apps. It's an iPad app. And the first time I heard of it, somebody was writing about their daughter staying up late at night looking at this app about the periodic table of the elements. So I met with those guys and said, you know, what are you doing? And they're launching a whole development. Ed's book, the museum as portions of it. There's ways now of using that format just to keep an eye on, because it's coming up. It's really interesting, and it's ideally suited for soil in a whole bunch of dimensions. And just one more point. As an outreach where you get, so we're not always talking about online stuff and digital stuff, we're starting one test, which we tried before, and finally it's maybe going, is we have a test for CO2 respiration, which somebody working with compost in our film developed. And we repositioned that, saying, wait a minute, you're showing that your soil is living because it has a lot of organic material and it's breathing. So if you can use this as a living, breathing soil test, and link that to what your soils, whatever your plot of land is, in contribution to dealing with climate change, you actually do the test, you perform the test, you see the results one day later, you match it up on a color chart, you can then, and that's what we're looking at now to get funding for, is you put it on Google Earth, and just as we saw there, and then you take the next step, not only the parent material, what's the health of the soil, and you have kids and students putting their own pictures, their own comments. It becomes an active process. So it's something that's hands-on, and that works with almost anything that was in your presentation, which is great. That works with hands-on stuff, takes it to the digital realm, and creates online communities talking about stuff that they can do. And somebody's in Tanzania getting a bunch of samples now, we're talking to the Google people about, you know, taking that further. But anyway.
When we were on our student tour in San Joaquin Valley, one of the students said, what kind of soils are these? And I grabbed one of my soil judges and I said, Cody, get out your iPhone and get the Ahidyo app. And he had downloaded the app before I came, and he basically put in soil at my location, and it brings up the soil and it gives the description. And so,
was it the San Joaquin?
Most of the time, it was a
or state soil.
I forget exactly what it was, but it was a sandy loam, of course, and it gave the information. So, and that came out through actually Dr. Vanspoek and Dr. Schultz had given that to their class. And I knew that Cody had it, and so he downloaded it. And then all the kids, it was really funny, they were there, can I get this? What is this? So they were passing it.
Right.
So, you know, they're using it, and it's mm-hmm. fun. And I was going to say that, but I'm sorry. So there are lots of things there, and we use it, they use it, and it's fun thing.
Any other questions or comments? Yes.
So it's just a lot of warnings that might not be in tomorrow morning's K-12 breakfast. Mm-hmm. We're here in Long Beach, California, and I've been on a bus every night going back to my sister's house. There are five high schools within 12 minutes from this building.
Wow.
I don't even want to count the number of grade schools that might be within 12 minutes from this building. Why, as the committee, or why as the SSA, House Speaker of the CSSA, which I'm on, why are we not visiting those schools in some shape, manner, or form or setting up something for maybe teachers to come over at some shape or form so that we can engage them. We're not in Long Beach for another Rose Wynn years, but we might be able to start some sort of level of interaction with some teachers here to get something going in some shape or form. I know Sherry can address the issue as well. She's
Clay Robinson had started that when he was on the K-12. And he tried to get it started, but there just wasn't enough time to get it all done. And when it comes to society, he tried to explain what we wanted to do, that we'd like to bring teachers in, and we'd like to go out to them. Mm-hmm. And there was just a lot of fog in between. So now we know what to ask. And so we're hoping that maybe in San Antonio that we can go out into all the schools and work with the students and teachers. So that.
But it's something
so
that
that's in the pipeline.
We should put in the back of our mind to try to work with this teacher, because I think it would be a great way to engage. A couple of us go to grade school, a couple of us go to middle school, a couple of us go to high school, and engage those teachers. They hear about it, and they can pass the word at their next teacher's meeting about such and such, and do that. And you do it here, you do it in San Antonio, you do it in Indianapolis, you do it in Albuquerque, you do it in Seattle. As the years go by, it might make a nice web of interactive people who we could work with in a regional basis, national basis, but local basis, as also a check of our ideas coming from the university on how it works with Joe Go student and Jake Go for feedback.
That was actually a question I had for Sherry. How much of your contact are students coming to you or your settings, or how much is it your plans or your demonstrations going to being adopted by teachers being used in their settings?
We have a field, and actually Suzanne and I work together. We have a 2-week period in the spring and the fall that we bring elementary students in. It's geared mainly towards third graders because we hit all their standards, and we have our Indiana standardized tests. And so the teachers have actually adapted a lot of our things and they put it in their curriculum.
Okay.
And so we have several of the teachers, well, they're usually 9 schools at the time, and if you use their 4 classrooms, so we have usually about 120 kids a day, then that's basically what we're looking at. And then during our fall break and our spring break, a lot of times I'm on the road and I'm going out to the schools and doing these things.
And I've been asked now, seeing as those teachers, students are now in the high school or their parents are now in the high school, I've got on one of my projects, I've got my son's biology teacher, who is my son has graduated 10 years already because my youngest is now a senior in high school. Is wanting me to work on with her as she develops it's a special branch of the high school in town where there is more like special ed students or tech students and problems and things like that. So in December, I'm gonna be trying to work with her on successive Wednesdays to try to put some of our stuff into their, which has to be hands-on, which has to be engaging, which has to have. But in my case it's crops, but in my case it might be enzymes, but it can't just be this part of science. It has to have the full math spectrum. It must be biology, but it must catch in with health and nutrition. It must catch in with, you can, the plethora of different things it has to come into, because the teachers, in order to catch all the ISTEP qualifications and all the learning standards, and also to catch some of the tests, the teachers want that. The math teachers want to be integrated with the biology teachers. They want the vocabulary worked out with the English teachers so that they are as a team working together, and they all three, and then throw in history, can use it. So if it's history, I throw in the food pyramid, the development of it, and then we go to development science, boom, and we hit that area. But they want all of it to integrate so that they can use it in the shape of the form. So it'll be a little bit of work on my part to do, which I'll just, I don't know if we have a year or so, It'll be interesting to see how it progresses in the next 6 to 8 months.
And in the summer, we have a teacher workshop, and because there's no way that I have enough time to go out to all the schools, and so we have this teacher workshop, and we try to get this information out so that the teachers can use it, and they can, you know, train their students. So I'm not the one who has to go out.
Right.
One thing, if you're working a teacher's workshop, though, or trying to do anything with your online, if you have hands-on activities, get, if you work like we have with the kids, have somebody filming you working with the kids so the teachers can see how the students react to you. I've worked with Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania schools and 4 school districts because I have cousins and an uncle who work in those districts. And if you just send a kid up free of charge, sometimes the teachers don't want to go with it. But if you go and engage yourself for a day or two or on your vacation, mm-hmm. With these schools, and the teachers see how the kids interact with you and how they have fun with what they have taken home with it, and then you hand them home as the materials like their homework for the next week, their spelling tests for the following Friday, because we give them a word world, these are 3rd graders, typically are 4th graders. Then if you send them a kit next time or something, they can see how it was used and how the kids interacted with it, so therefore that's kind of like a positive feedback that they might want to try it again. So if you're doing anything on the web and have hands-on stuff that you want to put on the web, put something in a video, mini type thing. Maybe it's a minute of just little parts of reactions.
Can I offer a suggestion on that? This is the Dirt Cam.
What?
Dirt Cam. This is a flip video. It's a small video camera, only reason, and you can put it whatever you want on the cover of it. We put dirt, soil on the cover. However, the point is, flip video offers free videos at drastically reduced or no cost to for educational and scholarly purposes, or for what kids are doing. So it's called flip video. There's ads for this little camera everywhere. And they will, if you say I've got 100 teachers or 50 teachers or 10 teachers, and we'd like to get little cameras, and here's what we're going to do with them, they will either give it to you for free or give it to you at a reduced rate, depending on what your situation is.
Nice.
And they're simple to use, and you just plug it into a computer, and it uploads immediately and into a format you can put on into a website or whatever else you need, and it's instantaneous. And now the quality is, you know, of all these things is really very high. I mean, you could put it on a movie screen at this point.
The key is the teachers want to see that it works.
Yeah, well, exactly, and it's not a big deal. It's not like you have to have a big camera. That's it. And
I want to mention a couple of things, like on some of these teaching materials. When I was looking at information, well, actually, I checked it again just last week to see if it had changed. Okay, so 2 of the publications we talked about, coming at different audiences from different angles, but both taking soil into new realms with new audiences. These are both available on Amazon.com, but have no customer reviews. Okay, now this is a very unique publication with a fairly stiff price tag, but I would venture to say that really there isn't any university library that shouldn't have a copy of this, and there is a meeting discount on it downstairs, so go take a look at it. But you know, very few people are going to buy personally a $150+ book based on what they can see inside plus a few well-groomed reviews placed there by the publisher. I mean, hello, they obviously have an interest in the matter. And there's not a single review from anybody who read it. That gets you some real low Amazon rank. And this surprised me even more, that this book has been out now for over 2 years, and you can find a lot of other books on Amazon about soil or dirt for kids, but this is, I have about 10 of them now, and I would say this is absolutely hands down the best of them. And yet the others all have user reviews from teachers saying, this was so cool. and parents, and this one doesn't. So, you know, so my point is, interactivity, okay? You know, I love working with kids, but one of the things I try to stay aware of, especially when I'm working with, like, the middle schoolers I'm working with right now, as opposed to, say, college undergraduates and grad students, is those middle schoolers are kind of a captive audience. I mean, they can obviously get pretty restless and cranky, but, you know, they're going to go out and do the lesson with me because mom and dad told them to. And I think to myself, you know, now what would it be like if I actually tried to get mom and dad to go out with me and learn about soils? Well, they're not going to go. They're going to send the kid because, you know, we can control that child and make him learn. So, yeah, the whole concept of new media, trying to build a participatory community where people are voluntarily wanting to go online to that website or to learn more about that lesson, to become the community of advocates that soils needs. I don't think soil scientists and our allies are numerous enough that we're going to, like, change the world's